Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat, that's C-A-T, taking it all in stride. Kat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all premier podcast platforms. Also, can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. I'm going to shout out two towns here in the United States that are listening to us. Our first is Lexington, Illinois. It's there in central Illinois, proud of connection with Abraham Lincoln and Route 66. His funeral train, he often stayed overnight there in Lexington, Illinois, and his funeral train passed through there. And also, there's a cool little road there called Memory Lane Road there near Route 66. Our other town, well, not really a town, it's more of a mountain, the Shawnee Mountain Preserve there in Shawnee Mountain, Georgia, is a beautiful place that's listening to us, has 963 acres of hiking trails, Indian seats, tree canopy classroom, playground, two picnic pavilions, climbing area, amphitheater, and visitor center. It's how long does it take to do one of the trails there? The mountainside trail loop via the Tower Road takes about 2 hours and 2 minutes. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right, alcohol is here to stay on the back porch. I was in a bar the other night, and I asked the bartender for three shots of Grey Goose. Or is it Grey Geese? And the bartender said, I'll just give you a flock of vodka. All right, today I'm having the Bullet Bourbon's pre-mixed version of the Old Fashioned, which is a drink I just can't seem to nail down. It's not too bad. Not too bad. Kat, what you got?
Having one of my summertime favorites, the strawberry mojito made with lovely fresh strawberries, a little strawberry syrup, and the dragonberry strawberry rum.
Ooh, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, dog.
All right, today we're going to get a little personal, maybe too personal. Do you want children? Or not. Probably the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life. Here in 2025, it's a dicey proposition financially, major burden on the bank account. Here in the States, it costs like 10 grand right out the gate just to have a child. Then comes the daycare cost if both parents work. Back in the day, we started the learning process, age five, right? You went to kindergarten.
Right.
Nowadays, parents are encouraged to start the learning process like two.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah. Our kids started, was it preschool? 2.5, 3.
I mean, some of these private Head Start programs, which are like a head start to get the bank account number from the parents. Here in 2025, you know, we're kind of in a transitional period of how to raise our child. The previous generations were raised, what, by technology? And now we're finding out that was a total failure. The iPhone and the laptop did not do a good job at raising our kids. You know, the Gen Zers are getting hammered right now for not wanting to participate in the workforce. So what do we do now? What's the latest trend in raising our kids properly? Crickets, nothing. Mental health. Some major topic concerning our youth today. Why is anxiety and depression widespread in the youth culture today? How did we get here? we're obviously doing something wrong. You know, I'm not an educator, not a life coach, but I am full of something and full of opinions.
Well, I don't know if the depression anxiety comes from trying to constantly compare yourself to what's on social media and stuff. If you're comparing yourself to that, you're always going to be behind the eight ball. Because right. Nobody, I mean, and most of those people are not even the creation of themselves. They've been, you know, the photoshopped and whatever.
Well, again, it's easy to say it's not going to happen. Put the iPad, put the phone down. You know, kids today, they need to be exposed to the arts, science, sports. And you can say all that's offered in the school system. But the problem with it is they're like forced to do it. You know, when you're forced to do something, what do you usually do? Revolt against it. You know, let the kids make their own decisions, you know, on which way they want to go. You know, a huge problem we have with raising kids these days is how to discipline your child. You know, and I can sit here and tell you that I got my ass whooped several times, and I did, and deserved it, and it made me respect authority. All that's true. You know, being physical with your kid these days is frowned upon, and probably rightfully so. You can gain respect from your child without the physical stuff.
Well, I mean, I was, as our kids will tell you right now, I was big on the timeout chair.
Does that still exist?
I don't know, but we had it at our house, and especially our oldest, she had to be sat down in that chair. She was squirmed and warmed and was ticked off. But
I forgot about timeout. That was a good one. But the kids today are like, yeah, I'm not going to do it. Timeout what? What's I would go sit over there and make me, you know? I don't know. Just, again, you can gain respect from your kids just by leading by example, you know, showing them early on right from wrong. So anyway, choice is yours, right? Well, hopefully the choice is yours. Actually, fellas, I'm going to tell you a little secret. You really have no say in the matter, okay? If the wifey, girlfriend, whatever, wants a little boy or girl, just go along for the ride, okay? Enjoy all the ups and downs of parenthood.
Well, neither one of us are really here expecting to be grandparents, so... Doesn't the outlook for us is not good. So anyway, and we're, I think I'm cool with that. I mean, I'd rather them to be, have a happy life and what they want out of life than.
I didn't look up the stats, but there's a bunch of stats saying the kid situations, the numbers are way down.
Right. They're not having kids.
No. So anyway, just if you do, you'll be glad you did. Let's roll right into one tough, awesome lady. It's either Sandra Diaz or Sandra Diaz.
I would say Sandra.
Sandra Diaz, 64 years old from Belleville, Argentina. Sandra Diaz is an ecologist and professor of ecology at the National University of Cordoba. Known for her study of plants and how they impact the ecosystem, Sandra's parents loved plants, had big gardens. She decided early on that she wanted to be an environmental scientist. Sandra Diaz studied how plants respond to increasing quantities of carbon dioxide. She discovered that fertilizers cannot counteract high levels of carbon dioxide. She's played an important role in the development of functional biodiversity. So many accolades for this lady. The Royal Botanic Garden Edinburgh Medal. Foreign member of the Royal Society. Elected to the American Physicians Society. This year, she received the Tyler Prize for Environmental Achievement. And that makes Sandra Diaz one tough, awesome lady. Philosophical, I could say it. Did we watch anything?
We watched something, and it's a good documentary on HBO called Pee-wee as Himself.
Oh, I watched some of that.
I thought it was a good documentary as it showed how his life started and his work with the Groundlings and stuff. I thought...
If you're young out there and you're like, who the f*** is Pee-wee? Okay, it was Pee-wee Herman, right?
Right.
It was a character. I don't know why. Did it start like Saturday mornings as a cartoon or no?
Yes.
Okay.
But it was like later in the, it was like the 10, 11 o'clock. It wasn't the early stuff.
It was not a cartoon. It's like a little skit show.
It was like a throwback to when we were kids and there would be a children's show. Right?
There was little dirty anecdotes in that thing, though, if you listen to it. All right, go ahead.
Well, it was like when, my favorite one as we were growing up was Captain Kangaroo. And that was kind of the basis or, you know.
It was a weird, weird, weird version.
Right.
Of a kid's show.
You know, like it was art and stuff, but it was like punk-based art. It was kind of cool and... The character that he created while he was at the Groundlings, which is a comedy troupe. And he has several successful shows doing that. And I think he ended up, did he do the movie first? And then he got the TV show. I think that's the way it went. Yeah.
Okay.
And CBS paid, and he had a very successful show. I mean, it was kind of groundbreaking in a way. But... There was stuff later on that kind of went south because I don't think he was honest with everybody about his sexuality.
The movie was, it was horrible. But I think if you were in
a cult following state of mind,
you might get into it.
Right. If you were high enough on California weed, you could probably get into
it. But I think today it's, people will give it a thumbs up more than they did maybe back then, but like you said, it was sort of like a cult following movie. It was the one everybody, the Rock of Horror Picture Show. It wasn't that big,
right?
It
was a lot of stuff in the 70s and stuff that people like Andy Kaufman. There was no way to describe Andy Kaufman as a comedian, but he was just different. You accepted it, rather being hypercritical, which is what they would be today. Anyway, I think Paul Rubens' downfall, I mean, he was arrested once for spanking the monkey in a theater in Florida in the 1990s, and then for some arrest for pornographic homosexual paraphernalia, which really wasn't. It was just like old school.
He didn't hurt anybody.
No, no. And I think what hurt him was he really wasn't honest about his sexuality and to be a child's, which really it shouldn't have been a child's TV show.
Dirty stuff on that if you listen to it.
Right. A child's TV show star who happens to be homosexual. But back in the 1990s, you really couldn't be that quite honest about your sexuality.
To tell you the truth, I had no idea he was gay.
You
until
did
I watched, I swear, when that thing came on, I wasn't a big Pee Wee Herman guy. A little weird, a little strange.
We had friends that were big Pee Wee Herman people.
Yeah, it was okay. Didn't really get into it. I had no idea that he was gay. And it doesn't matter. But the fact that they told him, his, you know, I guess controlling managers and people that were paying him said, you got it. And back then, you had to keep it on the down low.
Right, 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 right. And what's interesting is Matt Wolf, who was doing the 40 hours worth of interviews with Paul Rubens, didn't know at the time he was dying of cancer. You know, and it never came up. And I think Paul tried to do the documentary to just set his own record straight before he...
He also did it to let everybody know that he was better than everybody. And there was some conceitedness in that thing. He never really admitted to.
Well, I think in order to be failures, that far out of character and like to sell it, you almost had to be conceited. You got to have some chutzpah behind yourself to get yourself up there to do that.
I mean, everybody they had on there talked great about him, you know, and said he was smart. He was a genius. He figured all this stuff out. I'm sure there was some people that he worked with that would probably say otherwise. He looks great, I will say, for his age, however old he is.
Well, he died after the...
Oh, he did? He's dead?
Yes.
Oh.
You didn't understand? You didn't read the little small print? That was going on. They did not know that.
When did he die?
Shortly after they finished doing the documentary. Wow. And Matt Wolf didn't know that he was dying.
Wow. Yeah, I thought he looked great.
Anyway, I would, if you were a Pee Wee Herman fan or interested, I would suggest that you can watch it on HBO, Hulu. I mean, not Hulu, Max, or whatever they're calling HBO. It was HBO, then it was Max. Now it's back to HBO, Max. I don't know. Pick one. Anyway, it was a pretty good documentary.
Yeah, it was all right. All right, we got a shot.
We have a shot called the Tequila Pick-Me-Up. You know, and if you know a certain housewife in New Jersey who loves to have a little pineapple with her tequila because it makes her coochie taste good, this would be your shot.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for
Teresa.
Too much information.
Oh, she talked about it constantly.
Okay, let's stop. All right, here we go. It's
tequila. You would have 1 ounce of Patron or white, silver.
Blanco.
Half an ounce of orange liqueur and 1 ounce of pineapple juice. You mix it all up, put in the shaker, mix it all up, get it nice and cold.
Put on the hatch. To the snatch.
It's not bad. As Steve makes a face.
Yeah.
Steve,
what's it called again?
Tequila Pick-Me-Up. There's a lot of drinks you can make with the pineapple, orange liqueur, tequila combo.
Yes, we'll try a different one next time. Here we go, Band of the Week. We were bumpered in with a band called Girl and Girl, formed in 2020 from the Gold Coast, Australia. Kai James on vocals, Jaden Williams on guitar, Fraser Bell on bass, and Aunt Liz on drums. Wow, another killer band coming out of Australia. There's a whole pile of them these days. Heard them on WNRN out of Charlottesville right up the road. Just signed to Sub Pop. Why? Because they're good. The single OK was a song we bumpered in with today. It's proof how good they are. And Kai's lyrics, they're like a happy depression, if that makes any sense.
Oh, that's just so Smith.
Bad shit going down, but who cares? I kind of like his lyrics. Girl and Girl, they're getting better and better with each EP, album, or single they release.
If you want to hear them, they'll be here in the States October 4th at the Offbeat Music Festival in Reno, Nevada.
All right. Check out Girl and Girl wherever you get your music. I want to thank everyone for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.
Could have said yesterday, I think that things will be okay. I put it